Hello, and welcome to another Getting Down to the Pointy End episode of We Only Look Thin. I am one of your hosts, Donald Weigel. I have lost about 100 pounds. I have kept it off for, something like 6 years. Not good at the calendar math right now, and don't know why I always forget, and now I'm really digressing. And I have, come here to talk about it with my wonderful, beautiful co-host,
Catherine Weigel, Tiny Habit Certified Coach, Thrive Global Certified Coach,
yeah,
official loser of 120 pounds or more, and I've kept it off for a number of years, and the pointy end to our friends in America and not maybe Australia. Pointy end is the... What do we actually... Now that I say the pointy end, I don't even remember what we call it in America.
Well, yeah, I think we would say in America, I think we might just say we're getting towards the end, or we're getting towards the business end of
something. Yeah, the business end.
Or we might say... Like, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
The
brass tacks.
In Australia, they have this wonderful expression, which I genuinely think is fantastic, where they say they're getting to the pointy end of something where it's like, it's like, this is where it really means business.
Yeah. And by in Australia, we mean Australian Survivor, which is a program that we cannot stop watching.
But we assume, since they say it so much on Australian Survivor, that they must say it a lot in life.
And speaking of things that they say on Australian Survivor.
Uh-oh.
We watched a season where we talk about food. This is a podcast, right?
Yeah.
There's an episode where the host was like, "All right, you're all out on the outback and you're starving. What is the thing that you want most of all?" And a guy says, "I could really go for a Mexican parm."
A Mexican parm, which I never heard of in America before.
They do not
We have like things that are Parmesan here that are Parm.
Yeah, like
chicken Parm chicken or eggplant Parm, but like a Mexican Parm. It's like a Mexican flavored, like it's what you would think. It's like
guacamole and
it's
salsa,
like melted cheese and stuff on top of something, but it's like a Mexican flavor.
So we have a lot of things to
never
learn.
Occurred to me to do that, but now we need like a Mexican Parm eggplant or something
that
like that.
That sounds amazing. Maybe you could put it in a taco. Anyway, now we're getting to the pointy end.
Can you tell that we like food? Can you tell why we gained all the weight that we had gained?
We're not like those annoying podcasts who say just do it. We are still fighting after all of these years. I really need to figure out how many years we've been doing this now, where we have been maintaining for years and years. And this episode is about getting to maintenance.
It sure is. And this is – continue, dear.
Oh, it's okay. No, now I don't know. It wasn't all that interesting.
This is part six of our series.
Oh, it is six. Okay.
Yeah, part six of our series called Habit Elementary, where we started with part one, as you do, and we've talked about – the various stages of a health and fitness and weight loss journey. And we're now coming towards the end. I thought this part six was going to be the last one, but my wife surprised me by saying, no, there is going to be one more.
I have more to say.
I don't know what the one more is, but I'll be as surprised as you when we record the next episode
and
find out.
As a solo while you go do other things. Maybe we go get some steps or
I want to see. I would like to see you like set up the recording by yourself without me and see how that goes.
Oh, okay. That's how it is. Okay. Well, you set it up and I'll just let you do this. No, I don't know. Why are we getting so testy? I guess
I don't know.
Because this is our second podcast today that we've recorded. Donald still doesn't know how many schools he went to as a kid. On the last episode, he was like, I went to 9 different elementary schools.
I'm going to call my parents. I actually am going to call my parents after this episode and ask them how many different schools I went to, because I can't remember as a kid. But I do remember this is the sixth episode of our series. We've never done six parts before, and We have based the idea upon Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where you have to satisfy your basic needs before you can move on. And so now we are getting, you know, this is why we're at the pointy end. We're almost at the tippy top of the pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy. We've satisfied our basic needs. We've moved up, and now we have hit a goal weight.
Oh my goodness.
And those of you who are saying to yourselves, well, I am so far from hitting a goal weight, why would I be interested in this? Well, let me tell you. I think it's important to think about this as you are losing weight. And for one, I think it's important to visualize actually hitting your goal weight. I think, you know, convincing yourself that you can do it, because you can do it. Like if Catherine and I can, believe me, anyone can.
Yeah.
Convince yourself that you can do it. But also, when you start thinking about maintenance and prepare and practice for it, it becomes easier when you actually get there. Not that it's necessarily easy, but so we talked about, you know, all of the basics up through closing in on a goal weight, and now we're going to talk about what maintenance actually looks like.
Yeah, and I think too, to Donald's point, is that we always hear about yo-yo dieting, you know, the sort of the up and down. And I think it's because once the yo-yo hits the bottom, which is the good part, I guess, is you don't know how to keep it there.
Yeah.
You don't know how to walk the dog. Isn't that one of the things with
that,
the yo-yo?
That is a thing. I can't remember which one that is. I could never get a yo-yo to sleep, like ever, like in my whole life.
No.
I do know how to juggle, at least to a certain extent, but I could never get a yo-yo to sleep. It was very hard.
Yeah, there were lots of, like, I don't think that anyone actually has ever done a Rubik's Cube either. Like, I know there used to be competitions and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
how to
I know
do
there's video
stuff.
Evidence to the contrary, but I think all those people just broke their Rubik's Cube
That's
apart
and
put it back together.
I took all the stickers off.
Yeah, no, I pulled mine apart and put it back together. Yeah.
But in the last episode, we talked about what are your expectations of your weight loss goal, and whether you're 100 pounds away from that or you're actually at that right now, expectations have a lot to do with our happiness and our satisfaction. And sometimes when we hit a goal, we sabotage ourselves because it's like, oh, now I have what I said I wanted all this time. Now what do I do? Whether it's, you know, hitting, you know, like, well, I'll be happy once I graduate from high school. I'll be happy once I get my first job. I'll be happy once I make my first whatever number of dollars, my first car. But then, like, you have it, and then it's just something that you have. And maintaining, actually, which I think I found it. I didn't look on the, and I can't remember if we actually wrote this down. Did you?
Yeah, it's in the notes.
Oh, okay.
It's right there, number two.
Oh, thank you, Donald. I appreciate it. Donald is our fantastic note taker also.
Yeah,
so
I typed them all out. You know, and this may be a little bit of a digression, but I think another thing that we do in terms of sabotage, and I don't think we put this anywhere in the notes, is we get overconfident.
Yeah.
And I have been a victim of this before, where I hit a goal weight and then I think that I'm fixed and everything's fine and magically I can eat whatever I want again. Or another part of this is that I'll gain 5 pounds and I'll think, well, it's only 5 pounds. I can lose that easily. Like another 5 pounds. Well, okay, I can lose 10 pounds easily. Like I lost all this weight before. And then I just allow myself to keep creeping back up and up the scale until before I know it, I've gained more than I had originally lost in the first place.
Exactly. So going on to sort of the nuts and bolts and pointy end of mindset, getting used to the idea, because again, sometimes it's this like, what is maintenance? Suddenly there's this other, you know, is it an iron curtain or a velvet curtain? I don't know what kind of curtain it is, but it's like behind, like, oh, what happens after all of this? It looks virtually the same in terms of habits, behaviors, mindset as losing weight. It is, some things are definitely different, but it looks very similar. It's like, what happens on a bicycle when I get to where I'm going?
Right.
Well, you get back on the bicycle and you keep doing bicycle things.
Exactly.
You know, bicycle things.
Like I thought that maintenance would be substantially different, or I thought that I would be eating a lot more food than I was when I was losing weight. And it hasn't really turned out to be that way.
Right. So like we said on the last episode, sometimes we think it's set it and forget it, like it's a crock pot.
I think you might need to say that so that people understand what
you
just said.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Set it and forget it. I don't know what those words were.
Set it and forget it.
Oh, set it and forget it. Oh, exactly. Now I understand.
But, okay. We bought a crock pot at one point, and I was all excited because I thought you just put in like just full cans and jars of spices and it would magically make itself into a meal. Right. And when I got a crock pot cookbook that was like, first saute your vegetables, then put it in the crock pot, I was like, I did not pay for this crock
pot. That's right. Yeah, like it's like you just put the like raw stuff in a crock pot and then
it
cooks.
It magically composes
all this
itself.
Prep involved. It's terrible.
It's terrible. But yeah. But I thought that losing weight was you get there and your metabolism is fixed. But guess what? The habits get us where we're going, and then the habits keep us there. So as I enjoy doing, I looked on the dictionary internet to what maintenance actually means. And it is the process of maintaining or preserving something. It involves periodic function checks, cleaning, service, repair, or replacing of necessary devices, equipment, machinery, infrastructure, etc. So sure, that might speak more to a manufacturing process.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be about equipment or about, like you said, a factory or something like that. But I think it is really highly applicable to you and the maintenance of yourself in terms of your health and weight loss and fitness goals.
Right. So when we have a car, we've done episodes, I think we did like Walt Driver's Ed or something like that a while ago, of like when you maintain your car, for example, you don't suddenly like, okay, I got a car. It's amazing. Now I paid it off. I've got the deed to the car. Great. Now I never have to fill it with gas or change the oil or rotate the tires or get it washed or whatever. Like we would never think of that in terms of a car, but with maintenance for weight loss, we think magically it's just everything runs itself. But it doesn't run itself. It runs itself into the ground. If we are like, I don't hear that squeak in the car or the check engine light, like la, 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 we are the same way. This is about maintaining, repairing, servicing, like doing checks, checking in with our habits, checking in with our behaviors, and replacing things that aren't serving us. It's not just, well, this is going to be my life forever. It's reassessing based on your season, based on your goals. And I think when we first lost weight, I thought it was going to be like, well, this is my weight and this is what I'm going to be. And it's just one and done. It has been a process and my goals and habits have changed over the years based on what my priorities have been. So again, going back to that process of maintaining or preserving, this is where, and we've talked about it before, of like, so what does it mean to check in on maintenance? Like, how do I even know what that is? So this is like making a list of everything that you're doing that got you to this weight. I think it's, I used to be like, oh, I got here. Now, it's like no more teachers, no more books, no more whatever. Like,
yeah.
This is where you actually go like, what got me here? And we have talked before, we did an episode early on called Canary in a Coal Mine.
Yeah.
Where we talked about all of those little habits and behaviors and things that you have in place that like help you toward your health goal. It's not just a deficit. It's things like wearing my Fitbit, tracking my calories, going on daily walks, pumping up the volume, like eating satisfying foods, planning ahead, like strategizing and having policies. All of those things are actually like make up the puzzle of your weight loss, and they matter just as much in your weight maintenance. And being able to actually refer to all of those things that we typically keep in our head, it's almost like a family recipe, right? Like my grandmother had recipes where she's like, a dash of this and a bit of that and whatever.
Right.
And it was like, well, but how do you make it? She's like, I don't know, just a bit and a dash. But when you actually make a list of all of the habits that you have that make up and compose your weight loss, it is so invaluable to be able to go back to that when you're having a tough time, when you're like, wait, what did I even do? I don't remember. That was so long ago. Like being able to go back and have a refresher of like, oh yeah, I stick to filling protein breakfasts. Oh yeah, I limit my alcohol to weekends. I like prioritize having snacks and treats at night instead of in the daytime. All of those behaviors that got you to your goal weight are going to keep you there. And that's part of that maintenance part, is checking in with yourself to say like, gosh, the scale's going up a little bit. What's changed? Oh, I haven't been hitting my step goal. Oh, I have been eating kind of more junk food recently because I hit my goal and I thought I had more flexibility. So having that canary list is really important. Wear that fitness watch, prep your food, continue your movement, continue with your tracking. All of that matters in maintenance.
Yeah, and I think that as on a personal note, whenever I hear anybody say, if I'm listening to an audiobook or a podcast or something, and I hear anybody say, make a list, my initial instincts are always, yeah. sure, whatever with the list. But
that's all in monogam.
But I think this is part of that overconfidence thing. And, you know, thinking that you have it all in your head, thinking that you know it all, because things are going to change throughout your life. And so actually having a real, genuine list that you can look at and go back to and remind yourself of like, oh, I stopped doing that habit. And you know what? That was really effective when I did that. And you know, having a list that you can go back to and actually looking at it is super helpful.
Well, and I think it is hubris. There we go. I said the word hubris.
Exactly.
Hubris makes us think that we'll never forget. How could I forget? But guess what? Just like how I used to make a certain dish all the time, and I was like, I've got the recipe in my head.
Oh,
I know exactly how to do it.
I have done that so many times. I not like come up with my own recipe for something and then not written it down, and then I don't make it for a while and I forget completely what I've used to put in it.
Or going back to the driving analogy that we made earlier, I grew up in this city. I know my way around. I know exactly where I'm going. I haven't been there in a year. Actually, okay, like in December, I went back to my hometown. Hadn't been there in 6 years. Got totally lost. Didn't know where I was at one point. Yeah. Thought I knew where the thing was, and I didn't. And it's, again, that like, well, how could I ever forget? Guess what? The less attention we pay to something, the less it's our the less frequently that it's our day to day, we're going to forget things. So having a point of reference to get us like a GPS back on track is really important. So yeah, again, just because it seems effortless now doesn't mean that you shouldn't write down the recipe for future generations.
Yeah, that's me in a nutshell, by the way. If I don't go someplace for like a week, I forget how to get there entirely. And so this leads into our next point, which is that maintenance is based on the habits and behaviors of the current season you are in. And what do we mean by that?
This is huge.
Like, your seasons are going to change, and so will your habits, behaviors, and weight. There may be times in your life where you, like, everything is sort of quote-unquote normal, or everything's going your way. I was going to say everything's coming up Milhouse, which is a Simpsons reference.
The Summer of George.
Yeah, the Summer of George from Seinfeld. Everything is going your way and you just feel unstoppable, and you're actually, you know, your best self. You're doing, you know, your best exercise. You're doing your best meal prep. You're eating your top-notch foods, but life is going to get in the way at one point or another. You're going to end up with illnesses or job situations or changing family priorities. Like, those things are going to happen, and you may not be able to do all of the, you know, ideal, perfect things again. And so this is when you fall back upon the habits that you used in the early days. And, you know, so you may go up and down the scale based on this. You may go up and down in your, you know, food choices. You may go up and down in your exercise in this, and be prepared for it because it's going to happen.
Well, and two, I think we did an episode called Winter is Coming.
Yes, we did.
Way back early in the day, where, again, using that word hubris, which means like you think you're all that. There, you think you're all that, and it's going to change. When we don't prepare for setbacks, disappointment like just is is so big. There are, like Donald said, illnesses, or like, oh, I'm running every day, everything is great, and then you twist your ankle and you're off your feet for a while. Like, big life circumstances are going to change. I used to walk our daughter to school every day, and now she goes to school 30 minutes away and we're in the car all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that is a big lifestyle change. Maybe you worked from home and now you're working in an office and your challenges are different. Maybe you are, like, there are a few people in Wolt who are like having babies now, and their circumstances are changing, the season of their lives are changing. And when we're rigid and we hold on to, like, well, I used to do this and now I can't, knowing that that is just going to happen. The priorities are going to change, the circumstances are going to change, and it's important to just expect it so that you're not shocked by it.
Yeah. And another part of this is, and I think I know I did this, I know other people who have done it, is that making a promise to yourself that you will never gain weight again, or that you'll never be a size blank again, whatever that size is, that isn't helpful. Because when we make these promises or pledges, it's based on what we know about our current season.
Oh my gosh.
And all of these things are going to change. And so part of the mindset of maintenance is really getting used to the idea of, and this sort of goes into the next section of the scale, but getting used to the idea of, you know, your goal weight is really a range, and being comfortable with the fact that there's times where you're going to be at the low end of that range, and there's times where you're going to be at the higher end of that range. And going up and down the scale is part of the process. And then the last point I want to put upon the mindset section of this podcast is that you need to be prepared to pivot, and also pivot.
Yep.
And what does that mean? That means that as these things change, as your seasons change, and you can't do the thing that you've gotten used to doing anymore, you've got to be able to pivot and do something else. Rather than just saying, like, well, I can't go on my 6-mile bike ride anymore, so I might as well just do no exercise at all. It's about coming up with something new to do in its place when you can't do that thing that you've relied upon so heavily up until now.
Well, and that's that whole identity thing of, like, I identify as a runner for now. But now I'm going to focus on, you know, maybe it's a more meal prep season, or maybe this is a time to focus on stretching or yoga. We'll talk about that more. But having more than one identity is really important. And what Donald said about, like, I promised myself I would never be this weight again, is, like, please don't say that to yourself. I know I used to joke about that. I think when we first started the podcast, of like, I'll wear a barrel before I ever wear a size X again.
Right.
And that, I didn't have the experience of those seasons of life changing. And it's just so important throughout the entire process to be kind to yourself.
Absolutely, for sure.
So going into the scale part of this, this is a really tricky time for the scale, because at one point you were at a point where you were losing and you were getting accolades, and it was, you know, the scale was moving and moving. Getting used to the scale being the same in maintenance can be really challenging for people, because they're used to that being like a place of like endorphin hitting, of like, or like dopamine of like, ooh, it changed.
Yeah.
Getting used to one number or a small change is really challenging for some people. We did an episode called The Hedonic Treadmill, which basically talks about the phenomenon of something being really amazing and exciting. After a while, that becomes the new normal. Just remember, like, when you first got your driver's license or you were hired for your first job, you were so excited. It was the best day of your life. You can't believe it.
Yeah.
But do you have that same excitement for getting into your car today? Like, that new car smell,
right,
goes away. And then it's just the car that I drive. It's just the job that I have. And that can happen with the goal weight as well. It's like, it just is like, oh, this is the number that I'm at. It feels amazing. Like, do not get me wrong. The first time you see that number, it's like, oh my God, I did it. I can't believe this. But that is part of the hedonic treadmill. It feels exciting and amazing, and then it feels normal. And when it feels normal, we feel scared.
Yeah. And this also has to do with compliments, too.
Yeah.
Whenever I hit a certain weight, I started getting a lot of compliments from people. And then it just sort of became like, well, this is what I weigh. And people stopped talking about it. And, you know, I missed having people compliment me because it was just they got used to it. And I just, you know, was now, well, this is just the weight he is now.
Right. So getting used to the idea that something that you feel a thrill from, that's going to pass. And it's normal for it to pass. We don't, like, if you won a spelling bee in third grade and, like, were elated and you still are like, man, there was nothing like that third grade feeling. I wish I had it back again. Like, you're like, dude, that was third grade. Like, have another goal. You're fine.
Or you're like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, still living out your high school glories as you're in your, you know, 30s and 40s.
Right. So that goal number is going to need backup. We always have something else to strive for. Some other like goal to have is really important in all parts of life because seasons are going to change. And if we keep just saying like, well, I'm going to be happy when X happens or Y happens and we get there, we're going to need another goal in front of us. But the goal is awesome. So hooray and congratulations for getting there. But remember again, and we said this in the last episode, a goal weight is not forever. It's based on the current season, age, effort, and emotional bandwidth that you have.
Yeah.
A goal weight is just a comma or whatever punctuation Donald has decided it's going to be.
Last episode, I thought a goal weight could also be an ellipsis or a semicolon, but it's not a period. It's not like you don't hit the goal weight and then everything stops.
Right. It's not happily ever after.
It's not like frozen in time.
Yeah. It's not happily ever after. It's not the end or in a French film. That means the end. And it's, again, it's a range, and you're going to have to determine that for yourself. Again, it might be if you're on the very low, like someone who is maybe 120 pounds, which is, you know, depending on your size or whatever, maybe that is your weight. But you might go up 5 pounds and your clothes might be getting tight. For me, I've got about a 10 to 15 pound range where my clothing fits.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my range is.
You know, and we know people who keep multiple sizes on
which
hand
is huge.
Too. Like not that the sizes are huge, but it's a really good idea to keep some clothes around that fit and that you're comfortable in. And, you know, there was a point where, you know, Catherine talked about making the joke about wearing a barrel rather than up a size. There was a time where I just got rid of all of my, you know, certain size t-shirts and, you know, but having some around of like multiple sizes, depending on what weight I am, you know, based on the season is really helpful.
Right. So for example, in the summer, you might be much more active and doing, you know, lots of outdoor activities and eating lots of strawberries as Donald does. And then in the winter, you might find, which again is kind of what we find, is that when we go on vacation or when, you know, the holiday season, you know, at Christmas comes around, I go up about 5 to 7 pounds at the holidays. And having that as like, oh, this is what the seasons of my life look like. I tend to be lower in summer, higher in winter, or vice versa. And knowing that you've got clothing that accommodates, it's like you've got sweaters for winter. Why not have clothing for that season that hits your goal? Don't be afraid of like what it means to have different sizes. Now, again, in my, you know, knowing that I had it because I wanted to gain weight up to like a size, that's a different story than just seeing that like different weights are going to be in different seasons. So really just think about that. Again, continue to weigh yourself regularly, continue to take measurements and cross-reference it because it's like a lot of times too, there's some Like, I thought I was going to feel different, or I thought being this weight, I was going to feel super confident, right, or whatever. Being able to go back, I actually kept a pair of jeans from my largest size. I try them on annually because sometimes it's hard. Like, I still don't feel like I look thin, but I don't feel it. Going back and trying on your larger size clothing can really help remind you of how far you've really come. If you haven't kept those sizes, go to the store, go to like whatever clothing store, take it off the rack, go into the changing room and try something on of that size as a really great reminder of what you used to be. That is a really good way to ground yourself in all of the progress that you've made.
And this is also a time to really focus on all of your non-scale victories and pay attention to the part where, you know, this is a beneficial part to your health. This is, you know, losing weight really does, and I know some people don't like to hear this, but it really does help your blood pressure, your blood test results. And in my case, like I had technically have type 2 diabetes, and this may not mean anything to people who don't know A1C, but when I was at my heaviest weight and I got diagnosed with the diabetes, I had an A1C of 8.5, which is like really high. And I got it down to 5.5 almost entirely by losing weight. There was some medication involved in there, but you know, I technically am below the diabetic range at this point. And, you know, this is something I'm going to, you know, have to keep an eye on for the rest of my life, but really focusing on that and also focusing on, I know this is the scale section, not the movement section, but, you know, focus on all of the, you know, your movement, your ability to continue to enjoy vacations, to continue to enjoy activities and things, all of those non-scale things.
Exactly.
And then another thing to keep in mind in terms of the scale. And maybe not everyone has this same experience, but for us in maintenance, we kind of have a constant battle with gaining weight over holidays and vacations and then spending the time afterwards trying to lose it. And keep in mind, it is much harder to lose weight than it is to maintain a weight.
Yeah.
But maintenance for us has been a lot of eating in a deficit because of our choice to have these indulgent vacation and holiday periods.
And that has been the biggest surprise for me, is sort of what I thought, again, my expectation of what maintenance was going to be versus what it actually is. And so much of that has to do with movement. And then again, with what we choose to eat. So for me, when I started out, I thought it was going to be like, and I was actually interviewed on the Half Size Me podcast. I think our episodes are now behind a paywall, but I promise they were amazing episodes.
yeah, they might be worth paying for, just the episodes we were on. Yeah.
But I remember thinking like, I don't know, I'll just like right now I'm eating 1700 calories a day. I guess I'll just eat 19. That's what maintenance is.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's much more complicated than that.
Absolutely. So, and speaking of eating, now we move on to our food section of the podcast.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about food. So I did a presentation in Wolt Place, We Only Look Thin Place, our Facebook-based accountability group, about losing weight and maintaining weight. And I posted a number of side-by-side photos of people who had made progress on their weight loss journeys, who had hit their goal weight, and a ton of side-by-sides. And my question that I posed to the group was, what do all of these people have in common? And some of the answers were, they were motivated, or they, you know, like hit their goals, and they, you know, were super cool people.
Yeah. They all liked fishing.
But
they all played bridge.
But what do all of these people in maintenance have in common? The actual answer was, they still track their food. I will say it again. They still track their food. And when they do not track...
That is calories. Yeah.
Yeah. When they don't track their food, they tend to gain weight. And this is a really big, maybe this should be in mindset, but this is a critical part of weight maintenance. There are people who, like, and this is not me, there are people who are able to maintain their weight without tracking, but they do something. They eat very mindfully. They decide on their portions. Like, they are super focused on it without tracking. But I have not been able to maintain my weight without keeping that budget in mind.
Yeah, I haven't figured out what eating mindfully even 100% means after all of this. In, you know, like, if I don't keep track of, you know, it's sort of like, well, I'm spending mindfully, but if I don't know how much money I'm spending, I still end up overspending if I don't pay attention to exactly what it is.
Right. So there are people in the group who, in Molt Place, who do practice, like, portion control and, like, putting down their fork between each bite and only having, you know, filling foods at home and no snacks and that kind of thing. And, like, that's amazing. I'm not saying that it isn't possible. But for Donald and I, when we stop tracking our food, our portions get bigger.
Yeah, for sure.
And our exceptions, like, increase. Oh, it was just this one thing. Oh, I'm maintaining. So for Donald and I, keeping track of our calorie budget is just like knowing what our, you know, credit card debt would be or our bank account numbers would be. We tend to, like I said, we overeat when we don't pay attention, and we gain weight when we don't pay attention. We are not, like, absolved of weight gain. We don't have new fixed metabolisms. Like, tracking really does matter. And I know for those of you early in the process, and for me, tracking feels unfair. It feels like the rest of the world doesn't have to do it. And we can be kind of like, you know, again, just going into that not fair thing. But is it not fair to, you know, or disordered to track your A1C level? Is it, it's not disordered to pay attention to your budget, like your actual financial budget? It is a way to pay attention and know whether or not you're staying on track for what your goals are. And so for us, like, I have let go of fair or not fair, or they don't have to do it, or she has to do it. For me, it helps keep me centered, and it's a way to take out the guesswork. So for me, it has been 7 years or so. I still track. When I don't track, I tend to gain weight.
Yeah, same here, for
sure. So, like, that is part of maintenance, is understanding that, like, it is a very small price to pay time-wise, 3 to 8 minutes a day to keep weight off. That is a price I am willing to pay, and I don't see it as fair or unfair. I see it as actually a gift to know that it is that easy for me. It's like having GPS. Well, it's, you know, like, I just want to know where to go, man. Like, follow the crows or the setting sun. Like, like, for me, it just is, it's, like, so helpful to know that I can always count on that to help me stay toward,
yeah,
my goals.
And look, I'll link to some episodes more specifically about tracking food if you need some more help with that. But we've done some deep dives on that.
Right. So, okay. So I'll move on the food side of things. So we're going to be tracking. Again, I used to think it was just adding 200 calories a day, maybe just like, okay, I know my maintenance is 2000 calories. My deficit is, you know, 1800 calories. That'll be it. But what maintenance has actually been is eating at a deficit quite often, and then, you know, to compensate for those vacations that we do take.
Yeah, for sure.
So there are so many different ways to do maintenance, and we can't say that we are, you know, we're not going to give you every single kind of scenario that there is, but we're going to give you 3 examples of things that you might want to audition. For me, it was not that extra 200 calories a day. I basically have learned that I eat at a deficit Monday through Friday. So this is just example number one. It's continuing a daily deficit, eating the same foods that you ate while you were losing weight.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's indulging a bit more on the weekends. So I have deficit days, and then I have maintenance or actually probably eating over maintenance a couple of days. So that might be going out to dinner on a weekend or having a cocktail or, you know, making an exception for an indulgence. And in the end, it averages out to weight maintenance. So that might be a way that you want to go. And for me, that's kind of what it's been for 7 years.
That's largely me as well, with the exception of like throwing in, you know, vacations and holidays in there as well.
So yeah, so that's really been us, is like deficit and then making up for calories on the weekend. I know a lot of people or someone in Walt Place recently talked about getting to her maintenance calories, and someone suggested just adding in, if you're not really sure where maintenance is based on your current level, is just adding back a couple of hundred calories a day until you get to that point where like, okay, so I can kind of maintain based on.
I would actually say go even slower than that, than adding a couple hundred. Like I would start with like 100 a
really?
Day.
Okay.
And then see where you go. Because that over the course of a week, that adds up.
Yeah. No, and I mean,
and
like,
if you start to gain weight, then you know you've added too much.
Right. But it's a process of just sort of fine tuning. I know that first month that I actually was maintaining, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not losing, I'm not gaining, what am I doing? But again, it came out to looking at my average calories per week and then going like, oh, okay, so if I eat at, you know, this many calories, I'm still kind of losing, but if I add a little bit more, then I'm maintaining. And that is really helpful to, like, it's not a science. It's not this magical thing. It has to do with all of the different factors of our lives. But seeing it as kind of a range is super important. And again, the, like, a thing might be that you're planning for big events. Maintaining can be eating at a, you know, a solid amount 7 days a week, but then knowing as you're looking at the seasons of your life, this summer I'm going on an extended vacation or people are coming to visit. You know what that might mean? That might mean planning to eat at a deficit for a bit before people come to visit.
Right.
Then maybe I'm overeating while people are visiting, and then I'm going back to a deficit after they leave or after we get back from vacation. Most of our time is spent trying to lose weight that we gain on vacation or on holidays.
Yeah.
Like that is, we eat at a deficit a lot of the time because vacations are still hard for us. I mean, we've done episodes on how to sort of manage vacation habits, but when we're away from our home and our structure and like normal life, it can be difficult still. And it's not a like, oh no, I'm a garbage person, I can't believe it. It's like, nope, I know that this is a different circumstance. When I go home, I'm going to get back to normal. So again, maintenance isn't a flat line. It's adjusting and adapting to seasons and, you know, different temptations and setbacks. If you have an injury and you can't work out as much, maybe it means that your calorie, you know, goals are going to be lower. So it's really like, it's not just this, you know, turnkey solution. It's about pivoting, taking in data, and adjusting as needed.
And, you know, part of this is really, and some of this is repeating from the last episode, but really taking the longer view. Maintenance is about the very long view. And that can mean keeping in mind that you need to keep, you know, your head in the game for the rest of your life, or the weight will come back.
Yep.
And also, you know, even more specifically, looking at the calendar and the events and holidays and the visits and things that are coming up and really planning ahead for them. Another part of this is keeping things interesting and fresh when it comes to your food. And one thing that we suggested last time, which I really like doing, is really looking for new and interesting foods that you can add to your life. You know, take a look at your grocery store as if you've never been there before. Walk down aisles that you don't usually go down, or walk down parts of aisles, or really look at different products that are in an aisle that you already shop in, and try and find new and interesting things to inject into your food plan. Maybe, and look, one thing that really annoys both of us is when people ask for like, what recipes are you using? Like, okay, don't worry about rest. There's no magical recipes that like that make you lose all the weight, but maybe add some recipes to your life that, you know, to make your foods interesting. And then another thing to do is also to keep looking back. Like, what were you doing early? What were you eating early on? Or what was a food that you loved for a while that you kind of got tired of because you're eating too much of it? Like, maybe it's time to revisit your you know, the foods and the habits that you were doing early on.
Well, and that's something that I've actually started doing in the last 2 weeks. And I know, like, 7 years into this, it's sort of like, how could I forget that that's what I did? But someone in Wolt talked about focusing on protein recently and being really successful. And I went and looked back at what I was doing in year one. That was the point at which Donald was really focusing on getting rid of the diabetes diagnosis. We weren't really drinking alcohol. We'd really cut back on sugar and carbs and were like eating lots of protein. And in the last week, I was like, oh yeah, I feel a lot more full when I focus on protein and vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's sort of like, how could I forget that? Because it's been so long, it's really hard to remember those details. And I have really been focusing on protein and like deciding on cutting out more sweets, because sweets had kind of become an issue for me post-Christmas. And I've started seeing results again. And it's like, oh yeah, it's really simple, but it's also hard to remember. So being able to go back and reference that, I'm feeling much better, much stronger, and much more focused, because I am cutting out some of the garbage that I had let myself indulge in.
And another thing that I tend to do, and I think I mentioned this last episode, is I get really into like a food, and then I'll eat it like every day, or I'll eat so much of it every day that I get tired of it, and really kind of rotating things in and out so that I still maintain my interest level, and so that I still find the foods I'm eating, like, they fit into my goal, but I still find them enjoyable, is really an important part of this. Okay, so moving into the movement section, and a lot of movement in maintenance is very similar to what we talked about before. In the last episode, which is, you know, thinking about more physical challenges, personal records, muscle building, cardio building, endurance, really, you know, auditioning new and interesting physical activities that keep you interested and keep you wanting to do it. Like, you know, doing the same things over and over again can become boring. And so really trying to find new and interesting physical activity is important to make you keep wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And also really challenging yourself can really help too. And really trying to level up your actual physical fitness and not just, just your weight. So another thing to do, and this is becoming more and more on my mind as I age, is really thinking about the kinds of physical challenges that will support you as you age, support me as I age. You know, think about, you know, strengthening the muscles that will help you, like, get up if you fall, that will help you, like, continue to be able to walk upstairs, you know, to be able to continue to get up and down out of chairs. Like, you know, we've all seen people as they age be, you know, no longer able to do those things and really need serious help. So focusing on those sort of practical life as I age physical activities is, I think, very important.
Well, and I think part of that, too, is that when we're young, we are like, oh, that's never going to happen to me. Like,
right.
That seems so far away. But part of the thing about, like, not focusing on the goal weight is actually all of those things, again, those non-scale reasons that your health matters, is because we want to be independent. We want to be fit. Seeing people, like, if we go on walks and we see someone in their 70s or 80s, on a long walk, like every single day, I'm like, that's what I want to be. I want to be like, I want to be at my best. I want to be independent. I want to be strong. I want to be like exploring the world and not stuck in like, you know, living a not great life on the sidelines because everyone else is doing things. When you go like, why does this weight even matter? Why, like, gosh, nobody's even complimenting me. Thinking about our future selves is like so much a big part of what I'm doing now and what I care about. I want to be flexible. I don't want pain. I want to live my best life in the future, not in the past, like Uncle Rico.
Yeah, like actually still being able to enjoy the things that you enjoy because you are fit enough to still do them. And it could be simple things. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, things that involve running or climbing, but, you know, really being able to, you know, still enjoy all of your activities as you age is really important. And another part of this is, you know, a reason to audition other physical activities is because after you hit a goal weight, a lot of these activities can feel very different.
So different.
Like once you're there, like when you actually can do some of these sports or physical activities without feeling like you're going to die, they become much more enjoyable. So auditioning things kind of again, and keeping in mind that maybe this time you would enjoy tennis or pickleball, where when you tried it when you were 50 pounds heavier or 100 pounds heavier or whatever, you didn't enjoy it because you found it such a slog.
Right. And the same thing with me. There was a point at which early in the podcast where I was like, I'll never go to the gym again. I love walking. I love whatever. But I work from home now by myself. And I like actually seeing other human people that I love Donald also. I just want to say that. I love you. I'm just
it on the record. I love you also.
But I now like being around other people working out. It feels fun and inspiring to see other people on a treadmill or lifting weights and seeing them change over time. So just because you didn't like something before doesn't mean you can't try it again and see if it feels different. I tried Zumba like a year or two ago, and I was terrified. I'm new to the class. I don't know anything. What am I going to do? And I ended up having a blast. Now, I don't do it every day, but it's great to see like how my opinion changes over time or how my interests change. So don't think that just because you didn't like something before, just like a Brussels sprout, just remember, I used to hate Brussels sprouts. Now I love Brussels sprouts. You might love something that you hated before. Well, so give it a try.
And I think that I might have mentioned this recently on another episode, but I think too, sometimes when I try a new activity and I feel like I don't understand it, I don't know if I'm moving the right way, I don't know if I'm, you know, if I'm just trying to figure out the basics of it, sometimes I don't find that enjoyable. But if I push through and do it 3, 4, 5 times, and then I really start to get it, then I might break through and find, oh yeah, this actually is really enjoyable. And so not instantly giving up on things is another important piece of this.
Exactly. So at this point, we've talked about the mindset, your scale, food, and movement, and maintenance is happening. It feels new. It feels different. And it feels super exciting, but also a little bit scary. But remembering that the habits that got us here are the habits that are going to keep us here is really critical. It is not, none of this is a punishment. None of this is like grueling and, you know, full of dread. It's all investing in the lives that we say, like, I would dream of being the weight that I am right now, you know, 100 pounds ago. Like, as we age, our goals can change, but focusing on the habits that make us feel our best is so critical in living our best lives. And as part of maintenance, you know, in these last number of years that Donald and I have been in here, families change, jobs changes, seasons change, unexpected things happen. And knowing that, like, from my absolute lowest weight, this was before I started Wolt, I'm up a solid 25 pounds from my absolute lowest weight, which was actually below what my goal weight was. I used to think it was a single weight and like, I'm not going to be an inspiration if I'm up a pound or down a size or up a size. Like, my priorities have changed in the last number of years. I am still, even though I am maintaining, I am still working on losing. I don't know if I knew that that could be something that happened at the same time, both maintaining and still wanting to lose.
Yeah.
I still have goals. I still want to be stronger. I still want, you know, better endurance and better lung capacity. But I know that as part of weight maintenance, weight loss is still a part of that. It's okay to shift your priorities. It's okay to adapt to the season that you're in. It's okay to have big setbacks and know, like, please, please know that even if you've been maintaining and you've regained, which is it's going to happen to a lot of us.
Yeah.
We can always go back to those early episodes of Wolt or this series of Habit Elementary and go back to the fundamentals, go back to filling foods, go back to adding vegetables when you're feeling overwhelmed. It's okay to not track, but to just focus on some core habits. This is not a one-way experience. We have setbacks, we have regains, we have like crises that happen that throw us off of our goals. And knowing that it is okay to be vulnerable and go back to the beginning is really important. We've got people in Wolt, including me, where sometimes things are going super great and it feels like it's going to be forever. And then we have a setback. And knowing that we have a safe space to be who we are in our actual lives and start fresh again with all of the knowledge that we have and all of the support really matters. Regain where you feel shame, where you feel like, oh no, now like everybody thought I was this weight and now I've gained and this is embarrassing. That's when we spiral into serious regain when we hide. The big benefit for us of having a podcast, other than inspiring everyone in the whole world, is knowing that like we have the opportunity to look at things differently, to approach it differently, to be honest. And like Brené Brown says, guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am bad. And when we feel shame for regaining or losing our focus and we start hiding again, that's where regain comes in. That's where we start like going back to those old habits and that old identity of I'm not worth it. I knew I couldn't do this. Staying present in our weight loss goals means showing up good day and bad day. It's not enough to just show up when things are great and like everything's a party. Showing up when it feels hard, like that's where the change comes in.
Well, and keeping in mind that you can always do something and that doing something is better than doing nothing. And even if you're at a point where you just can't, you feel like you just can't do it right now, you know, just maintaining or limiting the amount of weight that you gain is going to benefit you in the long run, and you're going to be happy that you did. You know, just because you've hit your maintenance doesn't mean that, and I know we're repeating ourselves, doesn't mean that you're always going to do the perfect thing. But so when life comes along and things change, keeping your head in the game, keeping a little bit going is better than giving up and doing nothing at all.
Right. So I'm going to finish up with an analogy that I made a long while ago about regain. And it has to do with having a big giant party. Now, for us introverts, that might sound scary, but let's just pretend.
The scariest part of this whole thing, going to a party.
Yeah. Let's just pretend that you have a party and you invite 100 guests. So let's pretend that the guests are pounds. Let's just pretend. Let's pretend you've lost 100 pounds and you're feeling amazing and everything is great and all of your dreams have come true. What if 3 people leave the party? What if you lose that 100-pound, you know, badge of weight loss and suddenly you're only at 97? It can feel devastating. Oh my gosh, this is the slippery slope back to gaining all of my weight back. Just imagine that you have a party with 100 people, everything's going great, and then 3 people leave the party. Do you turn off the lights, like raise a bullhorn and tell everyone else to get out of your darn party because now it's ruined because 3 people left? A lot of times when there is a little bit of regain, we become super defeated. We think it's all over and why bother? Because now I don't have that, you know, 100-pound loss or whatever that big goal is. Don't throw everyone else out of the party. Even if your goal number changes a little bit, the success and the celebration of every single pound, every single non-scale victory, every single pound matters when you're losing weight and after you've hit your goal, you can still celebrate what you have and not focus on those few things that might have fallen out of your grasp. It is important to be adaptable, to have a growth mindset, to know that your seasons are going to change, but there is no way that I am going to go back to the me of, you know, age 41, where I felt desperate and alone and like I just was a puppet. I wanted someone else to pull all my strings. Having support around me, having a place to share the ups and downs and the struggles, and to not hide when I'm feeling low has made all the difference in keeping the weight off. If you are at this point in your journey, we are celebrating you no matter how many people are at your party, whether it's an intimate event or a big giant blowout. We are here for you. And Donald and I are here for each other. We still have times when we have setbacks and struggles. And being able to be honest about it in this platform and with each other and with ourselves has been critical. And so wherever you are on your journey, if you are celebrating 1 pound lost, 100 or more, anywhere in between, you are important, you are valuable, and you are totally capable of making healthy lifestyle changes for now and the rest of your life. It might not look the same for all of us, but we are all in this together. It is just so empowering to know that other people are going through this. We are so grateful for every one of our listeners. We are so grateful that you are on this journey with us.
Yes, we are. We are incredibly grateful that you spent your time listening to us today. We really appreciate it. To the party that is We Only Look Thin. If you enjoyed this party, there's plenty more partying where this came from. All of our episodes, the most recent 300, are available on all of the major podcast platforms. And you can find them there, wherever you found this one, or you can find all of our episodes back to episode one on our website anytime at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep, and if you are at weonlylookthin.com, check out that link for join our support group to find out more about Wolt Place. Again, Wolt Place is not a weight loss plan, but we are a place for fellowship and accountability and sharing the ups and downs of our weight loss journey ventures. We have two subscription options, a monthly option with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you. We have people maintaining, we have people who are just starting out. And if you don't think that you need support, I didn't think I needed support either. When I was losing weight, I was like, I got this down. I got the calories down. I'm all good. I didn't realize how much support really meant. Like honest, real connection
for sure.
Has mattered in my journey. I need Wolt as much as I think other people do too. We do weekly Zoom meetings. We do accountability check-ins and just real frank and honest conversations about our weight loss successes and setbacks. So please check us out if you are curious about being part of a supportive community.
Yes, please check it out. And you can also check us out on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram at We Only Look Thin. Or you can check in with us via email. We have an email address, which is weonlylookthin@gmail.com. We appreciate episode suggestions. We like questions. We'll do our best to answer them. You can also just say hello. Tell us what you like about the show. Give us a compliment. We appreciate those sorts of emails as well. You can do that once again to weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you have a couple of extra minutes, please head over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and a review. Each and every star that we get helps the Facebook algorithms boost us in the rating and let people know that we are out here. We also love getting reviews. It means so much after all of this time and energy. I mean, we have been doing this podcast for over 6 years.
That is correct.
We have done over 300 episodes. We do this because we care about you. We are doing this for free 99 and a way that you can can get, sorry, I said free 99. I know. Donald is like, I don't understand what you're saying. We do this as a community service for people out there on their weight loss journey ventures. And it really makes a difference to us to know that we matter to you in your journey. So leave us a rating and a review. Makes us feel good and it helps spread the word.
Absolutely. And speaking of spreading the word, another way you can do that for us is to just tell somebody about the show. If you know somebody that would get something out of it, we would appreciate you telling them about us. We only look thin. Or if you're in an online group, something like a Facebook group or a Reddit group or a Discord server, and it seems appropriate to give us a shout out, we really would appreciate it. It really helps the show grow. It's, you know, if you feel like you got something out of it and you can pass along the good word to others, it would really help them.
Yep. So if you're not sure if your next fitness purchase should be an actual treadmill or a hedonic treadmill, just remember that Donald and I are
an inspiration.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.